Members Gilbert?
Here.
Prusunka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Does anyone recommend any amendments to the agenda? Yes.
Just item number 13E. We would like to move that to the next agenda.
Okay, the next assembly meeting?
Yep.
Okay. Any further? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any agenda item?
I needed to declare a perceived conflict of interest on item 13A, the financial feasibility of building a new hospital. I'm the president of the Wrangell Medical Center Foundation, and part of that foundation is generating money to build a new hospital.
Okay, but does that put any money in your pocket?
No.
Okay, I don't see a conflict.
Thank you.
Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, items 6A, 7A, through 7E.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prusunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That moves us to item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Other than my written report, I just have a couple items from that that I'd like to bring to Assembly's attention to. One of them is initially our new water treatment plant was estimated in the early stages of $5 to $6 million. Since that time, to get USDA funding, they had to do a more extensive preliminary engineering investigation. And they've come back with a number of in the $13 million range. We have not yet discussed this with USDA about if they are still willing to fund that. Although at that price, if it was all loan money, that might be a problem. So we hope that a fair amount of it they can evaluate the water fund, and kind of like they did when they did our sewer fund, and then determine what portion can be grant and what portion we can afford to have as a loan. So we hope that's the case. The second item, also the water. So this may be 2 or 3 years down the road before a new treatment plant can happen. In the meantime, we have two ozone generators which are essential to water processing and treatment, and we purchased a new one last year, and I think we're going to have to purchase a new one this year. And they're with the actual purchase, the installation, and all the other stuff that goes with it is about $230,000. Without that, if that goes down and we're having trouble with it, and if it happened to go down in the summertime, we would be in a world of hurt. You could produce half the water that you normally can. So we think that's important, and we think that, again, if this was shorter period of time before this new treatment plant happened, that's one thing. But I think if you're looking at 2 or 3 years and you've got to make sure you have water, especially in the summertime, for the processors, I think it's something we're going to have to do because we're having some serious problems with it. And other than that, I do have Mr. Blasco, our borough attorney, in the audience, and I've asked him to give a short update on the settlement conference we had in Ketchikan with the union. And then after that, I won't ask him to stay because he's been traveling for the last week, and I think he's beat. But if he could at least do that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, good evening, Mayor Jack and Assembly members. And the first thing I do want to say is I want to thank you for your support and direction through this whole, let's call it, process, and particularly a couple of times on some really short notice for some really difficult decisions. That I can say from the borough's perspective, that process worked to put you back in the normal course of sitting at a bargaining table and coming up with a collective bargaining agreement. what happened when we went to the settlement conference is our borough's lawsuit to enjoin the arbitration, and then there was the counterclaim by the union claiming that there was an alleged contract to go to binding arbitration. And the employees involved are not entitled to binding arbitration under Alaska law, which is a central problem issue. Anyway, what happened is at the settlement conference, from the borough's perspective, we agreed to dismiss that part of the claim to enjoin arbitration. As a practical matter, that already happened. I think all of you know that the court had ordered a stay of the arbitration. And the union agreed to dismiss their claim of an alleged contract, both with prejudice, which means not only is the case over, nothing could ever be brought up again on any of those kinds of claims. Particularly, there could never be another claim that there was some alleged agreement to binding arbitration. The other side of this was there were two outstanding unfair labor practices claims that we were defending for the borough. Those were also dismissed with the Alaska Labor Relations Agency with prejudice, which again means if the union were to bring up an unfair labor practice charge sometime in the future, they can't go back and say, and you did this, and you did this. All of that stuff is gone from either the court or the from the Labor Relations Agency completely. And the last part of that agreement is what's going to happen tomorrow. Both sides agree to go back to the bargaining table, like where we should be, bargain in good faith, and if in 45 days there's no agreement, that Jeff could come and propose to the assembly, then the union will make their own proposal to the assembly and consider it, or accept it or reject it, and that Jeff is the manager and Lee is your finance director, can answer any factual questions but not give you opinions or recommendations. So you're essentially sitting in a body, except for the fact that if you have a factual question, you can ask Jeff or Lee. In essence, that's what you're going to do anyway, because the assembly is the final approval for any union agreement. So this was a little bit different twist, if you will, or whatever, that was part of the agreement. Is if we can't come to an agreement, then the union wanted to be able to present their last best offer to you as an assembly, which would, and in an open session. So anyway, those are the specifics. I know everything happened pretty quickly there, right at the right before the holidays. So glad I could be here. Wrap that up. I don't know if there's any other. And tomorrow we start at 9:00 in the morning. We actually had about a 3-hour session in Ketchikan after the settlement conference. Just a little bit of getting back in the process, if you will, a little bit of laying some groundwork. So we'll be at it for the next 2 days. Hopefully, have an agreement. See
you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Blashford?
Okay, well, thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything for you?
I do. Oh.
Yeah.
I got a question for Jeff. Evergreen Road, what's going on with that? We got an email a while back, and then I haven't heard anything since then.
Where we're at, did you happen to get a hold of? Okay. What happened is here about 3 weeks ago or so, we got word from the DOT, the engineers on the project, that they needed an easement down in that area where the Stowe property is, down right near the ferry terminal, for a storm drain outfall.
Right.
And they had talked to both Brett Woodbury and Stowe's, and both them told them no, they didn't want to do that. So, because this is a city road, they didn't want to pursue condemnation or any of those other issues, and basically told the city that, see what you can do to do this, if you can resolve it. But it's kind of on hold till that happens. So we got a hold of Russo initially, because she's the executor of the state. And we talked to her, and basically she told us that Mike would be the one dealing with this. And then it sounds like Kim got a call or email or something from Ruth, and I called Mike several times, left message, left text, and hadn't got anything back. And it sounds like, and one of the reasons we took this off the agenda is it sounds like he's preparing a letter for us. I haven't seen it. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, that's kind of where we're waiting for them to get back to us and to come to some agreement on how we're going to do that, because that's essential to before we can bid the project out.
So do you need an easement on both those properties or just one?
We need a 15-foot easement. Originally, what they normally do on those is if it's an area where there's two pieces of property, they go down the property line and 7.5 feet in this case on each side.
Okay.
And they go out to wherever you need to go out. Woodbury's lot is thinner, and Stowe's is obviously a bigger lot, and so we've talked to them. And then they have requested the tidelands on the outside. And because this easement could go through that also, it's kind of got to be one thing, because you don't want to sell them the tideland and have to buy back an easement through it. And so anyway, that's where we're at. We're kind of waiting. It sounds like he's working on a letter to us. I don't know what that's going to say, but anyway, that's the update.
Okay. Thank you.
And the recent water main break, it appears to be fixed, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Which one?
Had a couple.
Yeah, just the most recent one. I think this is normal for winter to have those.
I don't know if it had anything to do with winter.
Well, the bolts on the water valve were deteriorating.
Okay.
That deteriorated.
That was a quick repair.
It was.
I applaud the employees for getting that repaired.
They did a great job. They had another one on Friday night.
Okay.
Anything further for the clerk's file?
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything.
Okay. Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Is there any report by any assembly member? Yes.
SEPA update. So we had a series of meetings both in November and December, and the November meeting, we kind of put the final report on the Swan Race, which went really well. So for those who don't know, the Swan Lake Dam, which is down near Ketchikan, we did a raise in the keyhole, which allowed us to increase our capacity by almost, close to 30%, and do a raise at that reservoir. And it was some tricky engineering, and our engineer, SEPA, spent the whole time down there ensuring that it went well, which he needed to do. And we had a series of contract issues up front where the low bidder walked away on us and tried to make it a high bid. And so there was a lot of issues, and they got it done. So we were really pleased. We also were doing our negotiations with the CEO, and I can report that we were able to negotiate another 2-year contract with him. We're pleased about that because it's gonna bring some continuity. Our engineer is leaving, and that's gonna be a very tough position for us to fill. And we also have a series of other people leaving in the organization that are very tenured folks that have a lot of institutional knowledge. And so we're quite worried about that drain happening. And so it's nice to have the security of the CEO being present through that. I did notice in my travels here recently that there's a lot of diesel being burned in the other community. So I'm assuming, although I haven't heard, our reservoirs may be low with this cold weather, and Swan was drained down to do the raise, and we didn't get the rain we thought we were going to get through November, December. So Ketchikan was running diesel when I went through there. So I'm happy to hear that our diesel isn't running and increasing our rates. But overall, the agency is doing well, and we did receive another rebate from SEPA, and I believe it was just slightly over $200,000 as our rebate. So, you know, our rates have remained the same for over 15 years, and we received a nice rebate back to the community to do work with our own power system. So very pleased about that.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything? City boards and committee appointments. We have one vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission that expires in October 2019, and two vacancies on the Economic Development Committee that expire in October 2019, and we have no letters of interest for either of those. So we keep advertising them. Item 10C, appointment to an addition of an additional school board member to the ANSEP Special Committee. There was a letter that was sent by Superintendent Mayor requesting that Georgiana Bueller be appointed as an additional member of the school board on that committee. And without objection, we'll appoint her to that position. Next item we have is persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless an assembly member has a specific question regarding the item. The first person we have is Mr. Goodell on the property acquisition.
My name is Bill Goodell. I'm the owner of the Cane Inn, and I live at in Ketchikan, 4106 Valmer Lane. I'm just coming here to give you an update on us buying another piece of land in front of the hotel and the strip. If I would listen to Kim better than I listen to my wife, I would have already had the paperwork in your packet, but I didn't. So, but I felt that I should at least come before you. I flew in this morning to talk to you and just to let you know it is still moving forward. And I'd like to thank Danny for making my case for what I am going to present to you in writing of the doom and gloom of money's not out there right now. We still are very, very high on the economy of Wrangell. We still think it's a good move on our part to buy the property. It just might take a little longer than what we hoped to develop it the way we want to develop it. We're still going to develop it once we come to an agreement. It just may be with the turn of events with the economy and in the whole state of Alaska, it may not be quite as grandiose as we originally would like to. But with that being said, every year in the past 5 years from 2012, our revenues have stayed pretty stable. And one of the reasons it has stayed stable is, and at a certain level, is there are certain times that this town just does not have enough rooms. You can take all the bed and breakfast, you can take our hotel, you can take the one across the street here, and the one that I guess is not a hotel anymore, or the lodge, and we do not have enough rooms. And so it's actually hindering our growth. And we feel that by the fifth year, our revenues should be high enough where our spaces should be well enough where we can bring in conventions of a little bit bigger than what we can bring in now, actually do a very good job. We're looking at a minimum of a 48% increase in tax revenues to the city. And right now, over the past 5 years in just our hotel, we have contributed $487,484 in sales tax and $138,407 in debt tax. And this is with a limited deal. So what we're looking at is this is a true economic engine, if you like, in the tourism industry, which we're going to need. And that was why I spoke to Dan about the ferry system. The ferry system seriously hurt us last year. And if we hadn't had one great month last year, our year wouldn't have been very good. It wouldn't have been as good as we'd like to have seen. So with this expansion, what it is, just to kind of, you're going to get this in readable form, Kim.
Okay.
Along with our offer. But anyway, I'm just going to shorten this up for tonight. We were looking on the construction side, in the civil work, we're looking 3 to 4 jobs when this project gets started. It'll be for about 5 months. General carpentry, which we're going to hire, I am a general contractor, and so we are going to do it ourselves, but it'll all be local hire on this end. We're looking at 6 to 10 jobs for the entire period, which we're hoping doesn't take more than 14 months. The electrical, we're hoping to use one of the local electrical companies, and we're figuring 3 jobs. And the plumbing and mechanical work will be done by an outfit out of Ketchikan, which I am their mechanical administrator. So, and we don't have any licensed plumbers here. So that's why the plumbers won't be out of Rango. We have existing jobs that are 13 year-round, 41 during the peak seasons. We are projecting that we will have 19 year-round jobs once it's finished, and 48 peak season jobs. The reason there isn't more of a labor increase in it is we feel we're going to be able to work people longer hours and actually make them full-time employees during those stretches. And with the federal and state laws of going over 50 employees, we're not going to do that. Regulations, Mark, that you were talking about, they're too severe. It would kill us. It's not that we don't want to treat our employees well. It's just you can't do it. It's just impossible. After the building is being built, and I'm going to use 2016 revenues, we are considering that in the first year there will be an increase of 35% tax revenues to the city. Year two, we're thinking it'll be 48%, and year three and beyond, we're being very cautious and very conservative at 57% increase. And I'm not even including property taxes or anything else like that. Right now, I gave you guys preliminary costs a couple years ago when this all started. Our preliminary costs that we have designs about $72,000, and that we're negotiating with an architectural firm out of Ketchikan and one out of Juneau. Both of them have worked here, Wells Whiteley out of Ketchikan and Wayne Jensen out of Juneau. There are no architects here that I know of that are licensed. So, our preliminary cost estimate for the wall and the fill is, I've got two prices on it, is $280,000 to $320,000. It depends how we do it. This is after we ever get a permit. and then after that, we're right now with a 10% contingency, not included in this number. We have pared down our construction costs, like I told you, in the business. The building costs right now we're projecting at $2,227,500 with a 10% contingency on top of that for things we may not see when we get into the existing and then landscaping and then various work so that we tie into the waterfront development correctly. So when that comes about, that's what we're doing. So, but Danny, we need the ferry system.
Here you go. Here you go.
And, you know, there's other things, and it will be, I'm going to cut it short because Danny took way too long.
I did.
Don't you like it when I direct? We can answer that great one. But anyway, it'll be in your next packet. I'll get it to Kim, hopefully this time while I'm in town. But I want to reassure you, we are looking at this very seriously. First couple of years, we'll just fix up the shed that's down there so it's not a nice order and it's taken care of. So when we do present our proposal, I'd like you to really seriously consider our proposal when we present it to you. But we're still pretty high on rank, very high on rank. The bloom and doom with the state is going to come and go. It's just going to take a little bit longer to get through it. And I think we can do it. And no, I don't want to see a state sales tax either on top of everything, even though in our business, it's something else. You know, it truly is, but I don't think it's good. I don't think any tax is good. I'm a businessman, but I also understand that we've got a pretty healthy gap to fill. So, and I'd like to thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz, did you wish to speak more? Or?
No. No, I'm not going to ever speak again.
Have a good night.
Good night, Geek.
Okay, and Linda Churchill is the next. Would you come state your name and address, please?
Sure. Linda Churchill, Box 2147, Wrangell, Panhandle number 23. Myself and a couple other parents have gotten together lately and been talking about our kids on the island. A lot of people, when I first approached City Hall 2.5 weeks ago, found out y'all weren't having a meeting till January 10th. I didn't reserve the time, but I didn't know I had to sign the paper. Anyways, I already fought the city several years back on the cemetery board, and I had a petition of 286 people sign this paper. And it took about a month to shove it through. And now this is a new deal going on involving our kids. Now, when I came to the city hall and I says, I got a problem with Duster in this town, I was approached like, who's Duster? And I'm like, who's Duster? It's becoming the downfall of our next generation. You can buy it over the counter for $12. You don't even have to be 18 years old. It fries 15,000 brain cells per minute. You may as well be giving Everclear away with our free coffee, everybody. This was put behind glass about 2 years ago to an individual that was really getting into it pretty heavy. That individual was sent out to a rehab, cost the parents $30,000. And when they found out what that person was doing, was this is equivalency to heroin. And this is sold to anybody of any age. A 12-year-old child can walk into Napa, Century, True Value, pick up a can of this. This is way worse than a Whippet. This is way worse than Pam. This is way worse than hair moves. There are many ways to get high, and our kids are finding the way. And this is one of the worst. And it would sure be nice if there was a stipulation to sign your name, be over 21, and everybody have your guard up. Because there's other ways to clean a computer. This is killing our youth. And I started a petition only yesterday, so I'll be in at the next town meeting with a petition with some names on it. Proof to back up. I don't want our kids fried no more. Stick to marijuana. I mean, it's now legal. this is way too much. And the adults are the ones showing the kids. It's behind glass, big whoop. You don't even have to be 21 to get this. So I'm starting a petition, and I hope I got some people that care. People with kids. It has nothing to do with money and rank. It has to do with lives and rank. So, that's my spiel.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the information.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, we have no unfinished business, so under new business, item 13A, approval of the request from the Langle Medical Center for the city pay half the cost of the financial feasibility analysis for a determination of repayment for a new hospital.
Move to approve 50% of the funding of $23,500 for a physical feasibility analysis to determine if the hospital could repay a loan to build a new hospital with the funding of the $23,500 come from the general fund reserve.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Hey, Dan, are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
I'd like to catch up with you before you leave.
Okay. I'm in that flight that goes up to Juneau.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'm sorry. He was leaving. I had to catch him.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a change order to CRW engineers for the water plant pilot study project.
Move to approve a contract amendment to CRW Engineering Group for costs associated with additional pilot testing for the water plant pilot study project in a lump sum amount of $8,805.92. Project costs will be paid from water fund reserves.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? I'd just like to say that would be paid from the water fund revenues, not the reserves. Just to clarify.
Okay. And then the grant funds have been fully expended, it says. So that's why we have to go to the fund.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval of a change order to Rockland Road for the Wood Street Improvements Project.
Move to authorize the borough manager to issue change order number 3 in the amount of $32,150 to Rockland Road Construction for final adjustment quantities to the wood. For final adjusted quantities to the Wood Street Improvements Project, with costs scheduled to be paid from the project contingency fund source identified as the Sales Tax Street Fund.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
So as I went through that and read it, if we removed my understanding there, Mr. Mayor, that the seating removed was something that we're going to still do. Is that correct? That we just couldn't seat it because it was too late?
Correct. Yeah, there are two areas in town we need to seat, and so we'll need to make a plan in our next year's budget
right.
to have that done.
So as I took a look at that, if I added back in the seating, because we're going to have to pay for that at some point, it comes out to be almost $56,000 that we were over. Now, by percent of $1 million, I don't know if that. Thanks, Amber. I don't know if that's bad, good. I would love to kind of get an assessment in terms of how we did on our overages and change orders and that, and if there's any lessons learned from that project, and where we are today with it.
Sure. So the $4,000 credit that we got for seating, there are a couple options for that. We could do it ourselves in-house, which would probably reduce the expense. We cannot see. Those are the two options that I see right now. And eventually, probably a lot of that area really is, it's a lot of aggregate on the sides of the roads. So just as you pass Steve Brunella's property and on the banks, do you really see that there's an area that needs some seeding? So we could likely do that ourselves and I think save some of this $4,000. How much I haven't really sat down and calculated, so I couldn't tell you right now. There's another area that we need to seed, and that's the McCormick right away that is, it was a part of the Casper Street project, and it runs up beside Ruth Stokes' house on the corner there as you're about to get to the ferry terminal. So we need to do that as well, and again, the contractor hit the end of the construction season when that project ended as well. Our crews attempted to do some seeding, and we got washed out with the rain. And never had a chance to go back and reseed it. So it's taken off with some weeds and a little bit of grass, but probably would do better with some seeding in the spring again.
So Amber, overall then, this was a million-dollar project for, it seems like such a short chunk of road, but you know, that's the way it works. But so with the total increase of, in essence, if it's 56 if we seed or whatever, 52, that fell within our contingencies, and I guess I'm just looking if there was any lessons learned on that project that we got hit with something we didn't know about, or the contractor Rock and Road missed something, or
one of the big things that you see in here is the concrete. And we went through, so the engineer goes through, they do their surveying, they base their quantities on their survey information, and that's how they come up with our bid numbers. I don't think anyone from the city ever went through and confirmed those numbers before it went out to bid. Now we come through and we're finished with the project. The contractor had their surveyor go out and survey the quantities that they would submit for this final request. We went back after we had that, we did our own quantity review, came up with almost the exact same numbers. So at that point, I talked to the engineers, and I said, they have constructed to the limits of our project. We told them to, so where are we off? You know, our numbers should not be so, there shouldn't be such a discrepancy. Mm-hmm. You know, and we never came to a good clarification as to where it is. What I needed to do immediately, though, was ensure that what the contractor was asking for is confirmed, and that they didn't exceed their boundaries for some reason, that we would want to question them, why did you pave an extra section? And there was none of that. They were to the limit. So I think the only thing I can come up with, and I talked to the engineers about it, they never really took any, side of this, but, I think it was just an error in the quantities that were calculated.
On the front end. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's a big one.
I will say that a lot of the other additional costs were related to the underground infrastructure that was in place and not quite known exactly where it was,
right,
which created a lot of problems for the contractor. Some things had to be rerouted. There were some manholes that had to be reformed, new holes punched out in them to give them the right invert elevation that they needed to be, and relocate pipes, which added a good deal of length of the pipe. You'll see that was about a $10,000 bill right there. It's part of the change order. So there's a lot going on in that little section of road.
It's pretty amazing. I watched that whole thing go down. And, it was amazing.
Our main water line goes through that road as well.
Yeah.
Both the high pressure and the low pressure right there. There's a low pressure wall. I mean, everything changes in that section too. Now you've got underground electrical that feeds the water plant. You've got GCI cabling that goes up there. You've got now the AICS clinic that's served. There's just so much. So a lot of conflicts that were in the ground created a lot of this extra cost here as well. I don't know, Jeff, if you want to talk about the potential moving this money to the hospital fund. I don't forget a second.
Okay, forgotten. Thank you. I just wanted to understand. I appreciate it, Amber.
Any further discussion?
Well, now that she mentioned it.
Yeah. My ears perked up.
We have a hospital grant, and there's about $1.1 million left in it. roughly, maybe a little less than that now. Right now, that grant expires June 30th, this coming year, and one of the costs we're going to put in that is the architect cost that the is eligible for the hospital to do the preliminary design things that USDA requires. And the idea on this was this is eligible for the hospital grant, the overrun part. We already had a grant to do most of it. And I guess the idea there is that if, and we believe they'll give us an extension on this. They just give us one on the dock down here, and if there was no problem, you write a letter, and you have to have a good argument. You have to have that you are, moving along on it, and there's, you haven't just sat on the money kind of thing. And I think we can make that argument, and we've got a really good working relationship with that grant agency. And so the idea here was to take this additional money and charge it to the hospital grant. And then that way, if the grant, they didn't give us the grant run out, we would get as much as we can out if there'd still be much left. If they give us more time on it and, down the road, the hospital says, now we've spent all that, we want more, I guess we could always take this back out of the sales tax fund and give it to the hospital. So that was kind of what Amber was talking about, that. So I guess if the assembly has no objections, we can charge this to the hospital construction fund, the grant, and then down the road, if we get to the point where we mm-hmm. can't spend it, we're probably going to be maybe putting some other money up too anyway to get to that point. But that way, at least we assure that there's
it continues
$32,000 that yeah. Is that how much more we owe?
152. Can we amend the motion to say that we'd like to proceed with that?
Probably would be appropriate.
I will so move. I will move. We expense the $52,350 to the hospital grant, and with the idea being that if those monies are available to the hospital and they're coming up short, we will repay it to that grant source.
Second.
We're moving second. Any discussion on the amendment?
Okay, so this is on the amendment. Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Now, is there any further discussion on the original motion?
On the main motion as amended, Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval to proceed with the sale of city title that is requested by Brett Woodbury. Now, this has nothing to do with the Evergreen project.
This is down in the Inner Harbor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I move to proceed with the sale of filled city tide lands in the filled subdivided portion of Lot 15, Block 12A, USS 1119, owned by the City and Borough of Wrangell, adjacent to Lot 1-5, Block 12A, USS 1119, which is owned by the applicant, Stone Family Trust.
I'm
on the wrong one. Sorry.
Wait, I was reading
that. Somebody else,
you're coming up there, read it.
Move to proceed with the sale of unsubdivided city tide lands adjacent to Lot 5, Block 24A, Wrangell Town Site, Inner Harbor Area, Zoned Waterfront Development, as requested by Brett Woodbury, to direct the borough clerk to order an appraisal once the survey has been received and the applicable fees have been paid by the applicant, and to waive the public auction and bid provisions as stated in 16.12.040 B and C, which is allowed under WMC 16.12.075.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? I'm sorry about asking that question before the motion was made. But my understanding is he already has a float in that, within those tidal ends.
Yeah, it was originally John Ellis's property, and John had a float down there. When he bought it, actually a portion of that float appeared to be maybe a little bit outside of the original tidelands. And also this squares up the tidelands, the adjacent tidelands that he already has. I think there's a picture there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so he owns the adjacent one to the south of that, and this would put that float within the tidelands and also kind of square up his total tidelands.
And it wouldn't further restrict the navigation any more than it is.
And the Port Commission approved this.
So did I. Mm-hmm. And he wants to move that float out, correct?
I'm not
farther
sure
out in a deeper
maybe.
Water?
Possibly.
Okay. Any further discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yeah.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. The next item has been item 13E. It's been removed to the next agenda. Item 14, attorney's file. You know, we heard from this to me. And item 15, executive session, we have none. Item 16 is adjournment. We will adjourn at 8:32 p.m.